welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program. We come your way Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and we also link to our guests. We'll be giving that website to you shortly so that you can check out the information that they have provided here on the program, maybe even get copies of whatever it is that they happen to be offering, CDs or books or information, get on the newsletter list and so forth. So we encourage you to go to our guests' website because I think that you will find a lot of good information. So we encourage you to do that. We have a very interesting program today, diving back into a subject that we've dealt with before, having to do with a group of folks. It's almost along the lines of the various groups of citizens on the planet who were born at particular times, different eras, if you will. And we've had the baby boomers, which supposedly, I'm not even sure if I'm a member of that group. We've had generation, X, Y, and Z or something like that. But more on a spiritual or metaphysical basis, we also have a group that are referred to as indigo. But we're talking about not just indigo children, but also indigo adults. And my guest, whose name is Yul Swan, she has written a book called The Indigo Journals, Spiritual Healing for Indigo Adults and Other Feminine Souls. And Yul, thank you so much for joining us on the program today. It's great to have you coming via Skype.
Oh, thank you so much, Richard, for having me here. It's a pleasure.
Now, I guess that it's always important for us to know our terms, the terminology that we're dealing with. And sometimes folks are tuning in for the first time and they've never heard the term indigo. I've certainly talked about this subject with guests in the past regarding indigo children. But you are now talking about indigo adults. So tell us, what is an indigo adult?
Well, indigos come in all ages and personalities, really. And what sets them apart as a soul type is that they're feminine souls. You know, they have feminine qualities, but also certain masculine qualities. So the feminine qualities make them highly sensitive emotionally and otherwise, you know, sensitive to the environment, to energy, to chemicals and so on, are very receptive and intuitive. You know, we have a non-cognitive perception, very empathic and compassionate, deeply connected to animals and nature, and highly creative and solution-oriented, actually, non-linear, spherical thinkers. So we have all those receptive and intuitive qualities of the feminine, but we also have some masculine qualities, which makes us more of a warrior type of soul, and I mean a spiritual warrior, not someone who promotes war in any way. We're actually going the opposite way. Mm-hmm. And what makes us masculine is that we're very freedom oriented. So we don't like to be controlled. We're bound by the truth. You know, we're very truth oriented, sometimes even to our own detriment. We're hungry for a deeper understanding. We can't take things at face value. We need to understand. We need to know why we do the things we do. And we also are very much driven by a sense of purpose. So we need to have a purpose. And if we don't, we get discouraged, we get depressed. And all these qualities make us feel a little bit like a stranger in a strange land, you know, like out of place, misunderstood, sometimes misinterpreted or taken advantage of. Because we have all these feminine qualities that makes us very sensitive and actually service-oriented as well. But the masculine that makes us a little bit more stubborn, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so we resent not feeling part of the world, not feeling different from others because we have a different perception of life and a different perception of the world. We come with a different inner vision of what the world should be like, and it definitely doesn't match what we witness out there.
I guess I can relate to most of those traits.
I'm not surprised.
To one degree or another. And it certainly can be frustrating. I think that one of the things that is really, I guess, maybe telling in one sense is the lack of interest in the current news and information that is out there that people are just drawn to like moths to a flame, and I just have no interest in it. Matter of fact, as we speak, I remember as we were driving into work this particular morning, we heard a particular story, and I'm going, oh, okay. I mean, this is a big deal. People are making huge, huge proclamations in regards to this particular a news story, and I won't go into its details. But nonetheless, it's like, so what? I mean, big deal. And I've said this before on this program that you can take these events that happen and you can transpose the dates and the times and the places and the individuals, but the event itself, it's been happening over and over again for centuries, millennia. So why do I need to keep hearing about this, you know? And I think that, I don't know if others feel the same way, but I would venture that I would rather fill my head and heart with, you know, more positive, more uplifting, more joyful, more productive, if you will, things. Yes. I get, yeah. And you, of all people, you are unbelievably productive. And by the way, I must say that I am quite intrigued by the fact that in your book, well, actually, you have another book of poems, which we'll talk about as well. I'm very interested in that as well. But you have at the front of this particular book, upcoming. I like this. It's upcoming titles, which fascinates me because you don't usually do that in a book because you don't know who's reading it or when or where. But again, I like it. You have the law of abundance, the psychology of numbers fascinates me as well. Between yin and yang, yin and yang. Embrace your sacred selfishness.
Selfishness, yeah.
And then the art of listening, also a good one. We're going to be talking with a woman in the coming weeks about listening in particular. I actually took her test, and I don't know how well I did, but we'll find out. Mm-hmm. But I am always intrigued by, for example, the psychology of numbers. And I know we also want to talk about the indigo adults. And this, the Indigo Journal, but the psychology of numbers, discovering your purpose and transform your life with numerology. Now, I don't know if this plays at all, and please assist us in understanding this, but I see numbers in colors. And then when you put those numbers together to make 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 digit numbers, they take on their own hue. And letters are the same way. So a date, a given date in the year, I would see as a particular shading, you know, gradients across, that kind of thing. I don't know if that plays into this whole process of the psychology of numbers. Aside from each of these numbers would have its own, let's say, color representation, its own tonal quality, if you will, or vibration. So share with us a little bit on this, and then we're going to jump back to this whole aspect of the Indigo Journals and Indigo Children, and are we ready to embrace our divine difference? And that's a big deal we'll talk about as well. But tell us a little bit about the psychology of numbers.
Well, numbers are definitely vibration. I actually believe that numbers are one of the most direct and clear languages of, you know, divine languages. Because everything that you see around you is based on numbers. It's based on those vibrations. And they kind of speak to me. They've always spoken to me. I even thought I would become maybe a mathematician or something. But then I realized that that would make me more of a hermit than I already was, and it wasn't a good idea. but they speak to me. So because they're energy, you know, they're vibrational energy, and they help us structure and create things in the physical realm, you know, from counting and exchanging, you know, goods or money that came later, of course, but, you know, goods, from recognizing who we are, that we have, you know, 10 fingers and 10 toes and so on, to what we see nowadays in terms of computer science and all that. It's all numbers, you know, it's basically the matrix, right? The language of the divine helping us build things and create things and so on. So we are given specific vibrations when we're born as well, because we carry tendencies from the past. And so our date of birth, those numbers are very significant. They're like our, I don't want to say serial number because it sounds kind of weird, but that's what they are. You know, like they're like our soul blueprint that's saying, okay, this is what you're here to do right now in this time. And they represent energies, you know, archetypical energies. They represent tendencies that we carry, a perception of things that is very much the blueprint of who we are, you know, because you can change your name, you can change your location, you can change all sorts of things, but those numbers that you're born with, you cannot. Those are fixed because they're really imprinted at a soul level.
Are they in conjunction with or in coordination, say, with the DNA information of your specific body?
Yeah, I think so, because they are really setting the guidelines, you know, the path mm-hmm. that you're here to follow and experience to get to where the soul wants you to get to. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you're going to get there, but that at least that's the roadmap that it's giving you. You know, right. Whether you follow that or not really depends on many factors, but the tendencies are always going to be there, and the energies nudging you in that direction are always going to be there. So if you understand your numbers, you understand a lot of your life path, your life story, your life events, you know, you and also your own perception, the tendencies that take you towards certain patterns of thought and behavior and certain types of relationships, certain types of interactions, certain types of things that appeal to you, that you want to do, that you want to accomplish. So, I mean, you can go as deeply as you want with numbers, you know, just from the simple adding up your birth date and saying, well, I'm a number one or two or three, you know, and what that means, all the way to really exploring each of those numbers and what they mean on an individual, on a collective, on a generational level, and, you know, more self-knowledge and more self-awareness, well, makes you a stronger individual and clear about who you are and what you want. So that's the purpose of that book.
Very interesting. I'm always fascinated by these aspects and always curious to delve into them, because they do, indeed, as you've already stated, they do reveal to ourselves more about us, but you have to understand the intricacies, if you will, before you can apply them to your numerical code. We'll call it that. I was going to say ranking, but that's not what it is. Mm-hmm. But your respective code and so forth. Very, very interesting. But that also brings us back to, in terms of that, this whole aspect of the Indigo Journal and Indigo individuals, shall we say, because there are both children and adults. Are there still infants? Are there still individuals being born who are considered Indigo? Or was that primarily a phase, a period of time in which that happened?
Oh, no, there are plenty of Indigos coming.
Still coming
and
in.
And plenty of other feminine souls that are even more feminine than Indigos. Because I know that the Indigo children, or the label Indigo children, was very prominent during the, you know, 70s and 80s, because that was the time when we were ready to start recognizing that certain souls were different, you know, that we're not all the same, that we are different on a very deep wiring level, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so we were ready then, but that doesn't mean that they were new. That doesn't mean that they were the only ones. And it doesn't mean that they weren't here before. You know, it's just the time when we recognized, oh, these guys are different. They come with different perceptions, certain kind of intuitive gifts and very creative and so on. And the media portrayed them as special kids, right? Mm. But if you look right now at how much kids struggle in school, it's because they are different types of souls that do not match that kind of rigid, standardized structure of the educational system, for example, right? So they're struggling because their perception and their non-cognitive intelligence is saying, hold on, this doesn't make any sense. Or who cares about this? Like you were saying,
yeah.
Like, why are you feeding me this stuff that doesn't make sense to me? It doesn't apply to my life. It doesn't, you know, I can't connect with. It's just something that's been repeated over and over and over and over. And you want me to just, you know, swallow it and accept it as the truth. But I want to know more because I know there is more. And I'm here to figure out different ways and change things. And this is, of course, on an unconscious level, but on a soul level, that's what we're here to do. So that's why my book is intended to help indigo adults recognize themselves and, of course, feminine souls in general, so they stop feeling so different and alone, you know, and separate, because, no, there's plenty. Once you understand who you are and what makes you indigo, then you start recognizing others who may not be aware of it, but they are also sharing the same struggles, the same perception. And, you know, it's empowering in itself just to know that, well, I'm not alone and I'm not crazy and I'm not weird, you know, and I'm not flawed. But it's also the first step. Because there's a lot that needs to be healed in there. There's a lot of spiritual wounds that we've created throughout, you know, thousands of years that we've been here.
Right.
We just haven't been here in as many numbers as we are seeing now and will continue to see, because, you know, we're shifting cosmic cycles. So we need more of this feminine energy, more feminine souls than masculine souls, and that's what's happening. We're transitioning in that way. But we've been here. I mean, we've been here for a long time and planting seeds of change along the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds to me like a lot of folks that I have come to know who are actually, some of them older than me, have some of these traits. So they were certainly born prior to the 60s, let alone the 70s. But mm-hmm. it also says to me that the biggest influx, if you will, came following the 60s, when the key phrase was always question authority.
Exactly.
And yeah. As soon as that was put out there, it was like, I'm not buying it unless I can investigate and determine whether or not it makes any logical sense. And that was one of the reasons why, I suppose I could put it in this context, that I fought so hard against traditional, orthodox, for example, Christianity, because it didn't make any sense to me. And then I began to be exposed to other religious philosophies, as I'll put them, or belief systems, and some of them, parts made perfect sense. And I would kind of go down that path for a period of time. And then I, not that I would realize, oh, well, there's the flaw. Okay, I'm going to leave that behind. It was more, I've gleaned all I can from this philosophy. Now let's move on to the next one and the next one, and never denigrating the other philosophies that, let's say, I was leaving behind, because I really wasn't leaving them behind. I was bringing them forward with me to incorporate new concepts and ideas. And I think that when you talk about, for example, our educational system, I've had the privilege of communicating with this exchange student from Italy, for example. She knows five languages. Five. And in a spoken context, I know one, English. I know it fairly well, you know. I have a fairly good grasp of the rules of the English language. I know a few words, let's say, of Spanish, and I'm sure that we all could say, well, I know a few words of French and a few words of German. Sure, we do, because we hear them on a regular basis and so forth. Even Gaelic. I even took a Gaelic course back in the early 2000s. But what was so impressive to me in that, because with that disclosure, was the fact that the difference between a European education and an American education is that I don't know that we're really learning anything. I hear about the SAT classes that high schoolers have to take. I never took them, by the way. I don't recall ever taking an SAT because I had no plans at that time of going to college, university, and so forth. I went to junior college. So I don't know what these numbers mean or what relevance these tests have to an individual's, what shall I say, capabilities, capacity for accomplishing what it is that they want in their lives.
Yes. Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why we see so much anxiety and depression nowadays in younger generations, even, because there's this split, you know, there's this lack of coherence between what we are being fed and how we feel, what we see, you know. And the truth, like you said yourself through your experience, the truth is multifaceted. It's not like, well, it's my truth or your truth and that's it, you know. It's so vast that we want to continue exploring and going deeper and having deeper experiences in this life, in the mental, the emotional, the physical, and the spiritual realm. We want to really embrace what we're doing here as opposed to just becoming these zombified, standardized individuals that have no individuality whatsoever. So we're struggling with that right now, and younger generations are struggling even further, you know, more than we did in the past.
When I passed through the time period of the celebration, if you will, or recognition at least, of the 500th anniversary of Columbus discovering the New World, I'll put it in that context, I heard three different versions of the history of Christopher Columbus. One of them, he was a saint. One of them, he was a devil. And then the third was somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't remember reading about this in grade school or high school history. You know, where did this come from? But obviously people have, obviously researched a little bit further. They've delved into the old documents and so on and so forth. And this is one of the things that I find so fascinating, is this whole aspect of trying to understand where we come from. How do, from your perspective, and I mean, you, my goodness, you have an incredible list of not just accomplishments, but I'll call them titles or roles that you take on. You're a spiritual mentor, obviously an author, you're a coach for both individuals and businesses, and the list goes on. How do past lives play into this aspect of, let's say I discover that I'm an indigo adult. I was born in 1960, but still, you know. How would that play into this this whole scenario?
Well, that's very important, actually, because it makes a difference to perceive yourself as the person you are now with this physical body that you have right in this lifetime, you know, and your life experience from your childhood to where you're at now. And you know, to have that perception, that limited perception, than to perceive yourself as a soul that has gone through many, many, many more experiences and has gathered and accumulated thousands of impressions and gone through, you know, all sorts of roles and all sorts of positions, you know, and being, you know, rich and poor and a saint and, you know, a sinner and, you know, all of those things that make up the human experience, that you already carry that with you, you know, within you, because you've gone through all of that. And so you're not just this person that you want to believe you are, you know, you have a lot of energy from the past shaping and coloring your perception and your experiences and also, you know, the issues that you need to go through and deal with and unravel and understand to continue your evolution. So it's a very different view of yourself, of your life, and of the world when you see yourself as this spark of consciousness that is, you know, eternal and infinite and has an infinite potential at its disposal, than just seeing yourself as this individual with these you know, growing up in a dysfunctional world and limited to what the physical senses tell you that is real, or the belief system that you were born into or that you're surrounded by, you know. So it gives you these multi-layered, multifaceted perception of yourself that, of course, opens up a huge amount of possibilities that the other perception doesn't. So it's very important because we carry from the past, we carry a lot of energy, like a thick trail of energy that is going to manifest. It's going to crystallize in this lifetime in one way or another. And how we deal with it is going to determine whether we're going to move towards a better future or we're going to get stuck in the past.
And repeat it over and over and over again, which seems to be the case. And I have to say that in my early adult years, in some of the women that I came across, and I was born into a family of a total of 8 parents, 2 parents, a mother, father, and 4 sisters and a brother. And so I had the feminine energy around me most of the time. And most of the time, I would say, it was quite pleasant. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I have kind of commented on is that we have been under, I guess, what you would call a patriarchal system for so long.
Yes.
That I sit here and I look at some of the women that I've come across who have become so damaged through that patriarchal system that I almost become ashamed of being male. It's so frustrating. It's like, you know, they will share with me who did what to them and so on and so forth. And it's like, how dare you, you know, hurt this person, not just this female, but this person, you know. And my best friend who happens to be male, and he also happens to be gay, which made no difference to me. But also the hurt that he's been through, that frustrates me to no end. And there's not much I can do about it other than obviously be a sympathetic ear and shoulder, if you will, to those who have been hurt. But again, it's one of those situations where I've heard these comments about, of course, business. And I still can't figure this one out, how it is that a woman can be doing exactly the same job as a man in this country and not be paid exactly the same. It doesn't make any sense to me. And it's almost as if, you know, we need to be hiring people almost gender blind. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
If they can do the job, if they have the qualifications, let them do it for the exactly the same. I just don't, it's beyond me. And it's the same thing. And it's beyond me that anybody wants to control and manipulate and so forth. Other individuals, I can't wrap my brain around those kinds of concepts.
Yeah, and that's what makes you an indigo, because it's very upsetting to see that much injustice and the many manifestations of the wounded feminine. That's precisely what it is.
Yeah.
And the feminine has been wounded for, you know, thousands of years. Now, one thing that I explore in the book is, well, precisely the wounded feminine and how that happened and why we went into this masculine cycle that we're still in that has reached its extreme. You know, that's mm-hmm. why what we see in the world is like, wow, it's like,
yeah.
It's so mind-blowing to think that, you know, one step further and that's it. Life is destroyed on this planet. Yeah. We're at that edge, right? But it's the end of this masculine cycle. We're turning things around and restoring the feminine on the planet. And so one of the purposes of the book is precisely to help feminine souls become aware of themselves, become self-empowered, heal those wounds, and bring the transformation that we need to bring through our own transformation. And one of the main aspects of that transformation, of course, is healing our emotional wounds, anything that's been unresolved through our process of growing up and becoming adults, but also the opening, surrendering to the spiritual forces within that really animate and direct display. We're just vehicles of that. And so for an indigo, it's really difficult to accept the world as it is. It makes us very, you know, very upset, very resentful. We're outraged and we want to do something. We want to fix things. We want to save the world, right?
Yeah.
But that's not our mission, really. It's not our purpose, but to accept, surrender, and transform ourselves to bring in that energy that is connecting to everything else and to everyone else. And that's how we're really creating this subtle spiritual revolution that we're going through. You know, it's starting and it's speeding up. And indigos play a very important part in that.
Yeah.
Because we are warrior types, you know, spiritual warriors. We have this strength that allows us to go through many traumas and many things and still stand up and keep going and keep searching and keep finding a purpose. And that's what we need right now. It's to balance that feminine and masculine and bring the intelligence of the mind with the intelligence of the heart. So being compassionate, but also, you know, discriminating, you know, being intuitive, but also being wise, being receptive, but not passive, you know, also being active and, you know, doing what needs to be done to bring that transformation.
My guest is Yael Swann, and we're talking about indigo, and we're going to continue our conversation here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and Yael Swann is my guest. She has written a book of which I think is extraordinary. If you feel that maybe you are an indigo adult or child, for that matter, the Indigo Journals would be, a welcome addition to your library. Spiritual Healing for Indigo Adults and Other Feminine Souls. And again, welcome back to our program, Yael. By the way, I'll give out your website, which I believe is soulguidecoach.com. Is that correct? Is that the one you want us to use here?
Yeah, it's Soul Guided Coach.
Soul Guided, with an ED, folks. Soulguidedcoach.com. And you can find out about her as well as all kinds of good information there. We encourage you to check that out. We'll give out the website again here in just a few minutes and let folks know about it. This is one of those subjects that obviously, and you've kind of really honed it down, the level of frustration and irritation, if you will, feelings of an inability to solve the problem, if you will, resolve the issues, fix it. And of course, for, you know, guys like me, yeah, we'd like to fix this. You know, we really would. And I know that some of the marriage and counseling types of programs that we've done, the last thing that a female wants is for the male to fix it. They want to talk about it. They want to share about it. They want to they'll get to the fixing part, but part of their healing is kind of getting it out and talking about it. That's the cathartic experience. And I know that for myself, there are times when all I want to do is I just want to share with you this experience that I had that was, maybe it was comfortable, maybe it was joyous, maybe it wasn't so comfortable, maybe there was some suffering involved. So we have those attributes within us, both the male and the female. But it is that feminine energy, as you've talked about, that is, it's growing more and more, is it not?
Yeah, the feminine is being restored on the planet. You know, I share in the book, I share the how we got disconnected from that feminine to go into this masculine cycle and what that means in terms of how we perceive ourselves and how we navigate life. And of course, what happened after that, which is basically the mess that we've created because of that disconnection. You know, that there has to be a balance of feminine and masculine. The soul is a series of layers of feminine and masculine energy layers that are continuously interacting with each other. They need to be well integrated. They need to be balanced. They need to be working together to create something good, you know, a world that is more loving and more embracing of everything and everyone, because we're not all the same. You know, we are the same consciousness, you know, sparks of consciousness, mm-hmm. in that sense, but we've gone through different experiences that makes us very individualized, and we need to express that individuality, that uniqueness on all levels, you know, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And the purpose of the book is to help people really embrace that uniqueness and not try to fit in or try to blend in or try to fit any kind of mold or model, but to really discover who they truly are, what they are here to do, what they're here to contribute, and how to get there. Because the feminine has been so wounded, we carry those wounded patterns. And you say you want to fix things, but the truth is that all feminine souls want to fix things. We've been stuck in that fixer role, mm-hmm. for so long that we've forgotten that we need to take care of ourselves. We need to take responsibility for ourselves first, not try to fix things, not try to fix other people, not try to take responsibility for their stuff. We need to look within and really reconnect to who we are and what we're here to do. That's what the feminine is really calling for right now, because we cannot bring any transformation without going through our own self-transformation.
Right.
Otherwise, it just repeats itself. Like you were saying at the beginning of the show, is, oh, this has happened over and over, right?
Yeah.
The characters, the scenario may change, but it's the same thing. Why? Because we are not really learning from our past. We're not really understanding what happened. And so we just keep repeating the same thing. Well, we'll do the same thing in our lives on an individual level.
Yeah.
So in order for us to really create the world and the reality that we want, well, it starts from within. It starts from changing how we perceive ourselves, how we fall for the same patterns and the same codependency and the same self-defeating behavior and beliefs that we've been repeating over and over for thousands of years.
Well, you have, to shift gears just a little bit, you have a very broad experienced life as far as both travel as well as education, your spiritual life, your spiritual / philosophical life is very broad. I'm quite intrigued by it myself, because some of the areas that you've delved into, I am also very interested in, especially the philosophies of the East. Although I have to say that what was really funny, I used to hear these comments about the religions of the East when I worked for a Christian radio station and how denigrating they were about the religions of the East. And I began to do a little geographical study, and I began to realize that Christianity is an Eastern religion.
Yes.
It's like, wait a minute. Hold on. Could you stop just a second? Could you look at your map? Do you see the seat of Christian philosophy, where it came from and where it stemmed from, where it grew out of? I often used to say that I shouldn't be a Christian because Jesus wasn't. He was a Jew. I should be Jewish, you know.
Yes.
And so forth. But I'm also very intrigued by the teachings of India, in particular Hinduism, Buddhism, of course, further to the east of that, and those philosophies. And I was very intrigued when I read the story of Buddha, when I guess it was he finally came to the tree, and he finally realized that, and I can't even remember what it was exactly, but it was like that aha moment where it's like, oh, the longer I continue to search, the longer I'm going to continue to search. And if I would just stop, you know, that's the paradox, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So share with us a little bit about your background, especially the spiritual awakening that you went through in your life.
Well, I was always attracted to the Indian culture, you know, even growing up. And I grew up in Mexico, so there was not a lot of Indian anything mm-hmm. there. So I was always attracted to that. There was something, you know, this curiosity about the culture. And of course, Mexican culture and Indian culture are similar in the sense that they're very colorful and very crafty and, you know, they're very faith-oriented. But it was not until I went through many years of psychotherapy, trying to understand myself, and why my relationships were not the way I wanted, and trying to see what was wrong with me, basically, so that I couldn't create the life and the relationships that I wanted. And that led me to a spiritual exploration. You know, it led me to really trying to understand consciousness and energy. And I went through 3 years of what I call my personal retreat in almost complete isolation to really delve into myself and understand my patterns and my stuff, you know. And from there, when I kind of got out of that, I met a Buddhist teacher, an enlightened monk from Thailand, and I followed that path for a little bit. And then when I went to visit him in Thailand, I jumped to India. And when I stepped, you know, foot in there, I just realized, oh, I'm home. You know, like this is the next step for me. And then I moved, you know, I had moved to the States back then and met Hindu teachers, enlightened teachers, and went on that spiritual path for years, and I consider that my main path. But it's been basically my self-exploration that has given me all the insight into what is true for me, what resonates with me, and what is not just the, you know, the religious aspect or the cultural aspect that leads me. It's my self-knowledge. And that's what the book is really about. Mm-hmm. It's who am I? What am I here to do? How do I do, you know, how do I connect to myself so that I can be authentic and empowered in who I am so that I can then contribute what I'm here to share with others? So it's a spiritual path, you know, that follows certain guidelines, cultural guidelines, and so on. But it has to be about knowing yourself. You know, my teacher always said, you can read all the books, you can do all the workshops, you can follow all the teachers, but if you don't know who you are, you know, you're wasting your time. You're following the illusion of a spiritualized ego. And so that's my take on that. And it's been my path. So I totally agree with that.
Yeah. I've often been fascinated by the people I've come across over the years that have certainly shared their experiences and the philosophy that they live by. And many who are very ardent in their belief in that particular philosophy, in some instances, you know, they'll believe that until the day they die. Then there are others who are in those belief systems, who are basically pushing the envelope, as it were. They're checking out other ideas. I was so fascinated many years ago when I interviewed a gentleman by the name of John Noe, and he wrote a book called The Apocalypse Conspiracy, and of course he was a fundamentalist Christian. But he was asking questions, of course, that I would have asked as well, and searching for those answers. And yet he was still in this particular belief system, but he was trying to expand his understanding and of what he and others were being told. And I think one of my favorite authors and musicians, he was born in what's called the Jesus Movement of the 60s and grew up in that phase. And he was sharing that in his little writer's garret when he moved to New England, and he was watching the leaves fall from the trees during during the autumn. And the thing that came to him was, is what I believe what they've told me I'm supposed to believe, or is it what I believe? In other words, that resonates with me.
And, yeah, exactly.
And that gives me so much encouragement from the standpoint, not that I want to go out and change people. We want to change the world, yes, I know that we do. But people have to come to it of their own accord. We can't force it upon them. But that gives me such hope that, yeah, people are beginning to come out of their cocoons. Mm-hmm. They're religious and even spiritual. And even in metaphysics, even the metaphysical communities, they get stuck. I've seen this. And they're starting to realize, there's even more. In spite of the fact that metaphysics encompasses so much, you know, but it is easy to kind of get, I guess the word is trapped.
Yeah, I guess, because we all have egos. And yeah. So the ego uses absolutely everything it can to keep you stuck in the past. That's why it's so important to know that past, to heal that past, to accept that past and understand what motivates you and what from that past you still carry with you that is pushing you in one direction or another. What is stuff that you've simply acquired because of, you know, the experiences you've gone through, and the environments that you've chosen, the beliefs of those around you, you know, cultural, personal, religious, and so on. And what is really truly yours that resonates with who you are on a deeper level, at a soul wiring level. And that's, you know, exactly what the purpose of the book is, to help people with tools and insights and a lot of information to get to that point, to really understand. And I think that we're going to see more and more of that nonlinear spherical thinking coming up, because the feminine is being restored, and the feminine is connectivity. You know, it's not disconnecting and compartmentalizing like the extreme masculine that we experience now. It's about making connections and saying, well, you know, the truth is multifaceted. So you're just looking at it from this angle, but that doesn't mean that my angle is wrong. It's just a different angle of the same thing, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And we're getting to that point, I think.
Yeah. Soul guided soulguidedcoach.com is the website, soulguidedcoach.com, where you can get in touch with Yul Swan, who has written a book called The Indigo Journals, Spiritual Healing for Indigo Adults and Other Feminine Souls. I think one thing that we need to be clear on, too, y'all, is that we're not talking here about the elimination of the diminishment of, and you can clarify this for me if I'm not speaking this correctly, of the masculine, because it has its importance in the balance of existence.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely not talking about that. We're talking about integration. We're talking about balance, because even our soul has both feminine and masculine aspects. Everything in creation is an interplay of the feminine and the masculine. And if you start seeing things that way, then life makes much more sense. You know, it's this interplay of, you know, the spiritual, which is feminine, and the mental, which is masculine, and the emotional, that's feminine, and the physical body has also the physical senses, which are receptive. They're very feminine. You know, they're always absorbing and receiving stuff. And the organs of action, you know, that are more masculine, that allow us to take charge and take action and do things. So we're always interacting with those two principles. And what we're looking for is to balance them. Right now, the masculine has overpowered the feminine. Mm-hmm. And that's why we see the world we see. You know, it's so war-oriented and so, you know, seeking standardization. It's so militarized. It's so, like, trying to unify people. You know, there's no compassion. There's no love. There's no flexibility there. It's become really rigid. So we need to bring in the feminine and integrate that with the masculine so that we become, you know, truly human, you know, really empowered in who we are, but not leading towards one or the other, you know, utilizing both aspects to experience true intuitive wisdom, you know, to align with our true selves and bring in more abundance, more joy, more life, more love into the world. Yeah, it's definitely about integration and balance, not about polarization like it's been.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. I get that chuckle every time I hear a very religious individual want to push away the other philosophies because they are foreign, because they are, you know, they're not congruent in his mind or her mind with their particular philosophy. And the irony, this is one of the things that this never leaves my mind, and that is that there is no philosophy that exists that didn't grow out of another.
Exactly.
They're constant transitions, transformations, metamorphosis, if you will, of ideas and philosophical concepts. Which is one of the reasons why we share what we do on this program, is because I may hear something from you in this interview that I didn't even think of before. And now I'm going to start thinking about that and maybe integrating part of that into what I hold as my philosophical foundation, if you will, and vice versa. I mean, it's not a given, but it certainly, it basically goes back to James Redfield and his series of books on the Celestine Prophecy. And how he talked about how we all have messages for one another.
Exactly, yes.
And I viewed that as we all have this puzzle that we're trying to put together. We don't have all the pieces, though.
Yeah.
It's others who have those missing pieces. And if we shut ourselves off from the other people, other individuals, other entities, and they don't have to even be physical. That's another interesting aspect, too, of your work, is that without that interplay, without that willingness to take in these new concepts and ideas, we'll never finish our own personal puzzles.
Yeah, exactly. We're continuously exchanging energy. And so when we try to just impose one-sided energy onto others, mm-hmm. we kind of block that exchange. And that's what's been happening, you know, for a while.
Yeah.
And that makes things stagnate and become very rigid. And everybody suffers as a result, because we're not meant to be stuck and rigid. We're meant to continue growing and flowing and expanding. It's the nature of consciousness. And we are sparks of consciousness.
Yeah.
Tell
me about the intuitive aspects of your work. Is it, have you been doing it so long that now it's sort of second nature, that it's just there? And when it pops up with an idea or a concept or what have you for an individual, boom, it's just there? Or do you have to kind of seek it out still? Tell me about that.
Well, I've always been able, I've always perceived life as energy. And so I see how it flows, where it gets stuck, you know, where there's more of or less of, and, you know, how to kind of try to compensate things, how it flows, how it doesn't. And so when I'm, working with my clients, I see those patterns, you know, where they, with the energy is not flowing. I see things that they cannot see. I've also had the ability to look into the past, you know, to travel through past lives, to, you know, to really understand the importance of that past and how much energy it carries, and why we need to understand where our own tendencies and our own patterns come from to create something better, you know, a better movie, because we're creating our own life movie. So we want to change the script. We need to look at the script that we're playing right now. So when I'm working with my clients, there's this kind of exchange of energy that happens that allows something to open up and more information to come forth, to come through. So I don't have to do anything, really. It just comes through, and I'm just sharing what comes to me to guide them, you know, through their own soul, through what their own soul is saying, to kind of help them put all the pieces of the puzzle together and find the track to their path, and, you know, create that roadmap to a life that is going to make them feel fulfilled and happy and at peace. That's the purpose of my work. And of course, it's come through my own self-exploration and putting the pieces of my own puzzle to discover, well, you're here to help people do this, and you help indigos to recognize themselves, because it took me quite a while to recognize myself as one. And of course, that process entailed really understanding what it means. It's not just the label, but what does it really mean to be an indigo, and why do we feel disconnected and yearn to be somewhere else, you know, to go home and feel so out of place? And why are we so sensitive, and why are we so receptive to stuff that we don't really want, and so on. And so the purpose of the book is precisely to share my story so that people know where I'm coming from and how I got to come up with these insights and exercises and practices and tools that I had to figure out on my own to navigate life, you know, a little bit more gracefully. So I've always had that intuitive sense. It's always been there, but a lot of the times, you know, I struggle with it because I'm a very intellectual person as well. And so I was like questioning, is this really what I want to be doing? You know, it took me a while to really embrace all of myself. That's what I mean by putting all the puzzle pieces together. Mm-hmm. It's really because when you do that, and that's the purpose of the book, is you feel at home no matter where you are, what you're doing, who you are with, because your home is you. You know, it's your center, the place where you connect to yourself no matter what's going on the outside. Mm-hmm. And if your attention is always on the outside on what's going on and who behaves what way and who responds what way and why people aren't doing what you expect them to do and so on, you just kind of suffer and get more tangled up in that drama as opposed to really finding the inner peace and clarity that you're seeking outside of yourself.
Well, there's no question that it is an extraordinary journey for each of us, and we have to be willing to sort of take that journey, not just willing, but we need to see the importance of taking that journey. I mean, some would say that, you know, whether you choose it or not, you're taking it. I mean, that's one philosophical view is that it doesn't make any difference whether you do it consciously or not. You're taking it anyway because you're alive, you're breathing, you're moving, and so forth, and you're making decision whether you're conscious of it or not. And I think the difference is that it would be a whole lot, I don't know if it necessarily a whole lot easier, but more beneficial if we were awake and aware of the process that we're going through. As you've talked about, you know, being able to make conscious decisions that we don't have to repeat the past, that we can make new decisions to create new futures, if you will, new presents and futures.
Yes. Yes, because when we are not aware of who we are and why we do the things we do, we're just basically disconnecting from ourselves, from our life. It feels like life is passing us by because we're not really connected to it. We're not really engaged in what's going on and participating. It seems like, well, we're just these victims of circumstance and we don't really know what's going to happen, right? Mm. And of course, there's a lot of it that we don't know because it's fluid and it's, you know, the flow of life is always changing and it's so multifaceted and entails many energies from the people around us. And, you know, it's very complex, but if we get to know ourselves better and really become more conscious of who we are and why we do things and then choose accordingly, right? So that we are not disempowering ourselves and disconnecting, but we're getting more and more connected and more empowering who we are, then life becomes, it's always going to be challenging because life is not easy, that's for sure. Mm. But it becomes a journey of self-exploration and self-discovery as opposed to this, you know, thing that I'm enduring and bearing and I don't even know what I'm here doing, you know, like when I don't even know why this is happening to me.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a, so it really depends on where you place yourself. If you place yourself just in the physical, well, no, life is just a series of events and you have no control whatsoever and it just happens. But if you go deeper and become more aware of your emotional, your mental and your spiritual layers, your spiritual aspects, and you place your awareness further away from the physical, you know, you step back, then you see yourself as a soul on a journey, on a very unique journey, and you start taking responsibility, spiritual responsibility for everything that you feel and you think and you do and how you react and the choices you make. And in doing so, you're taking charge of that life and feeling more and more connected to it. And in that sense, you're also more connected to the flow of consciousness that, you know, animates you because you're more centered. You're not outside, like in the physical. You're working from within, perceiving from within. And that opens up, you know, infinite possibilities.
Yeah, yeah. It is quite fascinating because we have so much available to us today that I suppose you could say we've always had it available to us, but we weren't really aware of it. We're so much more aware, it seems, today than we have been in generations past, at least on a much more global level. There were pockets, you know, where you could seek out the the gurus, the sages of the avatars and so forth and so on, the wise ones, you know, and get answers, get some information. But you'd have to travel hundreds of thousands of miles, hundreds or thousands of miles sometimes. And now that information is even closer than our fingertips. It's right inside each one of us.
Yes. And, you know, it's always been. It's just that our attention was very much focused on the physical, you know, through our process, you know, historical or evolutionary process, we've had to focus on the physical a lot. And then we started focusing a little bit more on the mental and then a little bit more on the emotional. You know, that's when, you know, psychology kind of blossomed or was born, if you will. And now we're focusing a little bit more on the spiritual because we are ready to turn around and go into a new cosmic cycle, a new planetary cycle, and to move back into a higher dimension, you know, from where we fell. So there's a lot of shifts and, you know, a lot of things going on at the same time right now. So we are called to awaken, to be more alert, to be more attentive, because we need to pay attention. You know, it's like when you're driving on the highway and you're reaching a crossroads and you need to pay attention. Where's the exit and where you turn and how do you merge? And that's where we're at. Mm. And we're, our own soul is awakening, you know. And of course, when it does that, it brings up a lot of stuff that was stuck and all the wounded aspects that need to come to the surface that we need to deal with, you know, and the choices that we need to make. And that's where we're at. You know, there's a lot of confusion and challenges for everyone. But at the same time, it's a wondrous time to be alive and experience this and bring in this huge transformation.
Yeah. Well, and of course, we are coming to a crossroads ourselves, and that is the unfortunate conclusion of at least this interview. And I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program, Yol Swan, and encourage you that if you should find yourself in the area of Santa Barbara in the not too distant future, we would love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
No. Well, it's been a pleasure, Richard. It's been really fun chatting with you, and I really appreciate it. I'm on the other side. I'm on the East Coast, but you never know.
Well, we extend that invitation, and before we let you go, a reminder, first of all, that her website is soulguidedcoach.com, all one word, soulguidedcoach.com. And before we let you go, we have three final questions for you. The first is, who is Yol Swan?
Well, I am a spiritual counselor, seeker, an author, always willing and open to help others find themselves and to navigate this life in creative cooperation.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
My hope is to bring more awareness and self-empower, you know, bring self-empowerment to those feminine, sensitive souls that have been feeling hurt and alone and remain unaware of the extraordinary power they possess to transform their lives and the world.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
On a professional level, is to bring more awareness, to expand that consciousness. On a soul level, to reach enlightenment. That's my purpose. That's my ultimate purpose, and I hope it's everyone's ultimate purpose as well.
Indeed. Well, thank you again so much for sharing so much time with us here on the program. It's been great, and we do encourage people to go to soulguidedcoach.com, soulguidedcoach.com. Check out the book, both the Indigo Journals, Spiritual Healing for Indigo Adults and Other Feminine Souls, as well as you have another poetry book. or a poetry book, I should say, on your website that people can also go to and check out. And we encourage folks to do just that. I think that it would be a lot of fun. Songs of Light and Dark. So check that out as well on the website. And again, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Richard. It's been a pleasure.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.